that fundamentally pride is a grassroots movement, and that if you cut the head off the snake, like it's not a snake, it turns out, because everything just keeps going anyway.
Yeah,
So,
normally it's like those worms where you cut them in half and they just becomes two worms. You know, it's a number of times that pride gets decapitated and now there's two prides and they compete and it's a mess. But my question for you, Sebastian, is we're seeing this push and pull, which you could pick a political topic, and right now it's Palestine. But there is this idea that pride represents the canary in the gold mine. It is, first they came for insert most targeted people then, and we did nothing. So there is this sense of, the queer community, if we don't stand up for the most vulnerable amongst us, how long until we are on the chopping block? You know what I mean? But at the same time, we see folks who are like, we have fought so hard to have just a parade, to have a welcoming space. And now we are tearing ourselves apart in doing so. Like, how do you balance that? And how do you balance those big philosophical competing interests as a volunteer, not paid? You know, you've given up your weekend to do this. Because this question, Sebastian, is what these pride committees face.
That's
So
what
how
they're
would
running
you
into.
balance that?
Well, I think one of the issues that we're seeing is just basically mission creep, that it's not just about LGBT rights advocacy, community promotion, and socialization. It's also about every other thing at the same time. And there comes a point where you have to say, this is the Pride Festival. You know, this is for the LGBT community to come together and do LGBT self-promotion. And there's been a few times where there's things like, I remember maybe about 15, 20 years ago, there was a huge movement of accessibility advocacy. A lot of the events were not wheelchair accessible. They were in parks that, every so often you'll come across a public park that for no reason you have to go up two steps to get into it. And why is that? And there's no ramp. Like, what is this? And it's a park. There's no need for this. Just put a little slope. It's a park. The whole thing is slopes. And if there aren't slopes, they pile up dirt to make artificial hills. So there are slopes. And there's just issues of like picking more venues with wide enough doors for wheelchairs, or that are accessible for people with movement disabilities, or getting signers to come in for major events. If there's a keynote speaker, making sure that here in Ottawa, you have to have two signers. You have to have your ASL and your QSL and that kind of thing. And that wasn't necessarily about promoting, getting like hijacking the movement to also do advocacy for disability activism. It was more about make sure your spaces are accessible to those people. And then yeah, now it's pretty standard to have like events that are very friendly. And if you see somebody with a white cane, it's not rare to see a volunteer like sweep out and, can I, if you'd like, you can take my elbow and I'll guide you through the crowd. Like, I've seen that happen at Pride. So accessibility activism has turned into a thing that we sort of integrate. And there's been a lot of issues about like, do POC communities feel welcome at Pride? Has the community done enough to make sure that they know that they're welcome to organize their own events if they don't know how to organize their events or they're unsure? Like, you can get all the help in the world. There's people there for you. We can get a sponsor to help you. Like, the Pride committees have been pretty good about that. It's the difference, though, between helping people integrate themselves into the queer community and trying to hijack the queer community to do like second degree activism, to do like four different kinds of activism at the same time. And you do get that mission creep. And there is that issue of like as I said, like with the disability thing, when people were starting to say there aren't enough ramps at Pride, a lot of people were like, fair enough. That makes, yeah, like we'll just pick a different venue. That's fine. It's not hard. I've been at events where I was double checking, and then I actually realized that we didn't have anybody with accessibility issues. So I actually double checked because I've done events planning as well. And it's just an issue of like quick double check. And if there were anybody with even just like they could walk, but they just needed a cane, I'd been like nowhere with stair access only, just instantly. So that kind of did sink in with the community, but we didn't turn into Pride that also protests against, I don't know, inaccessible buildings or something. Mm-hmm. It was fundamentally, first and foremost, an LGBT event for at the time promoting same-sex marriage, for promoting rights, civil unions, like community engagement, that kind of thing. But at the same time, we were, for a brief period, more aware than usual about accessibility issues. I think some of this stuff to do with like divestment and are we accepting funding from organizations that are also funding distasteful things? I think bringing that conversation in is very constructive. I think that's something
that's an ethical debate. Yeah,
absolutely. It's an ethical debate. Pride should be asking themselves, should we be taking checks from everyone who hands it to us? That's fair, but there's also people are saying we need to turn Pride into a vehicle for protesting about Palestine and or Israel and or both and or NATO and or Ukraine. And it's bringing in the conversation of what is our responsibility within Pride? Should we be taking money from everyone if they're also donating money elsewhere? Completely fair. But to say the entire parade should, like, for this year, we're not talking about LGBT rights. We're not talking about, you know, being comfortable in your own skin. This year, the theme of the parade is Uganda. Like, that's there's something about that that doesn't feel like, it feels like mission creep.
Yeah, I do think you've been, and it's usually me that does this. Hyperbolic here. You know, there's just none of these parades have been hijacked by the Palestinian issue at all. They have chosen these groups as. And I think maybe their choice of these groups as their grand marshals is perhaps part of the big issue here. But it's really hard to be an openly gay man in Palestine when nearly every single man has been bombed. You know what I mean? Like, we're 180,000. They've been, like, the amount of human destruction.
Yeah.
Negates any possibility of just being actively queer.
Yeah.
So it, you know, I get it. It's like hard to celebrate Pride when you, like, everyone, like, it's just, it's horrific. It is truly horrific. But I also understand the point that you're coming out here in terms of, like, is there a more effective way of balancing these things? You know, is there a way of Pride showcasing and highlighting this issue and supporting queer Palestinians and the diaspora community, of whom there are significant here in Canada, and supporting them? You know, perhaps that is a way that makes most sense. And we'll talk about that in terms of how Sudbury Pride is supporting Liquor Control Board of Ontario workers just after the next break. We'll be jumping to our first second track. I've got to keep track here. This is Talk to Me by Sarah Jane Riley. And we will be back just after this.
If I stay here, will you?
That was Sarah Jane Riley with the track Talk to Me from Peterborough, Ontario. My name is Nick Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And this is Can Queer. Speaking of Peterborough, Ontario, good news. Good
I like
news.
You're struggling to say Peterborough because Peterborough is in Ontario, but Peterborough is in York County in England.
Yeah, well, I think people just say Peterborough. But
yeah, Peterborough. But if you say Peterborough,
I mean, it's like when you're talking to Canadians outside of Toronto, you say Toronto.
Toronto.
But then
yeah.
in Toronto, they would hang you alive. Like it's, I refer to Ottawa as a Watto because the market has that big sign.
But
and I find it unbelievably hilarious to take a picture of it the wrong way and it's a Watto.
Yeah. Usually you're on the wrong side of it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the wrong side of Ottawa on many occasions.
Uh-huh.
All right. I want to talk about Conservative MP Michelle Ferrari, who is the Conservative MP for Peterborough, Ontario.
Okay.
Did a nice thing. Congratulated the police for arresting a 48-year-old man on two criminal charges of harassment after he stole a flag and burnt it and screamed anti-gay epithets in the... You know, because these people don't quietly... burn a flag. They generally speaking, you know, like to hurl out insults at the same time.
Burning a flag is not the kind of thing one can do subtly.
No, it's very hard to subtly burn a flag.
I mean, you could put it in a Dutch oven and stick it.
We're not going to recommend how to subtly burn a flag. We're going to draw a line on this conversation. Anyway, the MP for Peterborough said, you know, and I quote here, "Hate has no place in our community and our country and will not be tolerated." Wow. What do you think of that statement?
Sounds normal.
They caught the guy. Congrats. Hey, has no place here. What are your feelings?
Sounds normal. Sounds very, very Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, unfortunately for the Conservative MP of Peterborough, there are certain constituents in their riding, in her riding, that that just do not quite feel the same way and feel that congratulating the police for solving a crime is, you know, supporting the liberal agenda. Is advocating, you know, the supporting pedophiles, which is unbelievably not true in terms of the often made allusion that the queer community are pedophiles, which is disproportionately untrue. But very hostile feedback, even called a fake conservative. Let me just reiterate here, Conservative MP congratulates police for solving crime and is accused of being a fake conservative. I mean, you can't write this thing.
Canada has like a half dozen different flavors of conservative that are all lumped into one party. Like there, you have the reformers, you have the fiscal conservative, progressive, socially progressives. You've got, you know, the Christian reforms. You've got East Coast conservative, which is a completely different flavor of conservative. And they're all under one umbrella because it's the only way they can win. Like, there is no fake conservative. They could say you're the wrong kind of conservative. That'd be like, well, you're a bit of a dingus, but like, I get what you're saying, at least. Like, you're not the kind of conservative that I wish I had voted for. Fine, that's fair, but like, not a real conservative. Like, I'm sorry, but in Canada, conservative is such an umbrella with dozens of different subtypes. It's and they're just running under one name because it's the only way they can win in the very progressive country of Canada.
Well, speaking of police solving crimes, that is not the case in Halifax, where the police there took almost 2 weeks to issue a statement. I'm going to read it here. Halifax Regional Police is investigating an assault that occurred in downtown Halifax on June 23rd. This was released on July 4th. On June 23rd, at approximately 1:50 a.m., officers responded to a report of two people injured in the 1600 block of Argyle Street. Officers located two people who had been assaulted by a group of people who were not known to them. The investigation is ongoing. Investigators are urging anyone with information about the incident or video from the area to call the police. Now, it was the 23rd. The police decided to acknowledge this happened. I'm going to say almost 10, 11 days later, by which time the video had gone viral. Mm-hmm. The photos of the attackers had been widely circulated by the media and the victims of the attack. Mm-hmm. The only ones that seemed not particularly well informed is the police in this particular incident. So just to give you a little bit of backstory, as happens all over the country, mm-hmm. A lesbian couple went for a walk. They were walking home, walking to, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Emma McLean and her girlfriend Tori were walking home through downtown, and one of these group of men, about 10 men, were making comments, inappropriate comments that shouldn't have happened either way, mm-hmm. to Emma. And Tori said, "Hey, you know, watch it. That's my girlfriend." What happens next is frankly outrageous. Mm-hmm. There is a video. It is available to on various media sites. I think CTV Atlantic has it with past part of their news coverage, where they are, you know, kicked on the ground, beaten up. There's photos and still images released of the couple after the fact, and they're now saying, "Look, I don't feel safe in Halifax. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel safe downtown when there's a gang of, maybe not a gang, but there's a group of 10 men who think it's perfectly fine to kick and beat a couple mm-hmm. for no reason, just because, you know, the odds of getting laid by this particular lesbian couple is next to nil, mm-hmm. and that's fine." And I think that feeling of being unsafe is exasperated by the fact that the police who you would return to mm-hmm. provide safety takes almost 2 weeks to acknowledge the thing even happened. You know what I mean?
Well, they called the police because I'd been following this story through the sort of low level, like Halifax level media for about a week now. And it seems like the couple did inform the police right away. The fact that the police didn't make an official statement, I could give them a week's grace because the police don't want, and this is just a general thing with the police, they don't want to make any public statements about anything they can't prove. And they don't want to leave anything too open-ended. They don't want to start any vigilante witch hunts. They really want to pick their language. They really want to nail down the message. And they want to see if they can resolve it quickly anyway. Because you've got that period after an event. It's usually, depending on the type of crime that it is, like 1 to 3 days, where if you don't solve it within that period, you're probably not going to solve it for another 2 months. So I could see, you know, you try to solve it within those 3 days, doesn't work. Okay, we're going to have to craft something together. Like, week's grace. I give them a week's grace. 2 weeks is, that's a bit much.
That is a bit much. Yeah.
And also, it is worth noting that it is actually quite exceptionally rare for people to experience violence from total strangers, to the point mm-hmm. where, like, that is a metric for safety that countries around the world use to measure how safe they are as a place. And being assaulted by total strangers is exceptionally rare. So this is a very big story on multiple levels. Like, it is an actual instance of violent homophobia. There's been so many times where I read a story where people talk about violence and you're like, well, they said mean words and that's not cool and they should be held accountable. But like, and this is everything that people say it is. This was physical assault. This was total strangers. And this was just a same-sex couple, a queer couple walking down the street, minding their own business. And this is not great. And the fact that the police took 2 weeks, not one, that's really kind of sus as well, especially since the local media was all over it. Yeah, everything's a bit weird.
Exactly. Let's move on. We are running a little bit shy on time, but you have mm-hmm. a story out of North Bay as well.
Yeah. It's a pretty short story, but basically the North Bay Pride, a portion of the profits from ticket sales to one of their events is going to go to support striking LCBO workers. And I thought this story was great because it reminded me of that sort of mid-80s story of how the Pride Committee in London supported the Welsh coal strikers.
Yeah.
And it's this thing that I haven't seen in a long time where there is a relationship between the LGBT rights movement and labor. And I don't know where it came from, but it did pop up multiple times through history. And I don't know. I just thought this was a feel-good story. The fact that they were saying, like, look, we're making profits. You know, it's good to Like, they're not giving all the profits because the other half is just like to pay the expenses of the event. And then on top of that, it's just, you know, we're going to help out a local community. And I really like the fact that there is this emphasis on people in North Bay helping people in North Bay. And I love that sort of, you know, change starts at the local level and it's a tangible thing that they can do to help. It's just a real feel good story. They didn't have to do this. They just chose to do this. I don't think the LCBO workers asked them to do this. Someone just came up with this idea. And I think that's everything about this is feel good.
Well, let's be honest here. Other than your beer and chicken wing lesbians, the gays are significant patrons of fancy cocktails and niche liquors.
Well, you and I are gin drinkers.
We are gin drinkers.
Yeah.
And so the role that the LCBO played, for our listeners outside of Ontario, they are the sole distributor of spirits in the province of Ontario.
And actually one of the world's largest distributors of alcohol as a result
The single largest purchaser of alcohol. Absolutely, yeah. So it makes sense. But yeah, you're right. That there is a great movie with...
it's just called Pride, isn't it?
It's called Pride, yeah. And it's got that older actor whose name I'm forgetting.
Alan Cummings? Oh,
no. Much older.
Even
much
older.
It'll come to me. It'll come to me. But anyway, amazing movie. Highly recommend everybody watch it. It is fantastic. And it's actually set about 5-10 minutes up the road from where my family is from. So it is. it has a lovely connection to me personally.
Suspect?
No, it's up in the mountains where the mining happened. Uh-huh. But yeah, I also wanted to mention very quickly that and this the headline is not that surprising. Russia has lost a European Court of Human Rights case. Mm. Now, the fact that Russia lost a human rights case is not overly surprising, but it's really interesting. So Article 8 of the Convention on Human Rights, states a number of things. It protects your right to respect for your private life and your family life and home life and your correspondence and so on and so forth. And essentially what Russia has decided is that the act of transitioning for trans folks, becoming made female to male, etc., is basis enough to terminate foster agreements. So after they have fostered or adopted and become trans, that is enough to take the kids away. Hmm. And the Human Rights Court in Europe has landed on the side of no, that is still a human right that's protected.
Do they have a surplus of foster parents that they can even get away with that?
No. No, they don't. We're watching a whole lot of news. There was a very anti-gay cardinal that got evicted from the church.
Defrocking is a thing.
Yeah, but I don't think it was I mean, maybe at night, but that wasn't what happened to this guy. We also know that the Prime Minister of France attempted, openly gay Prime Minister of France, tried to resign, and Emmanuel Macron said no. Mm-hmm. So we will monitor that and a whole bunch of other news throughout the week. But you know what? With all this slightly depressing stories that we've talked about, we're going to lift up the vibe here with Volva Amora by Jean Giroux, incredible El Salvadorian Canadian artist. An El Salvadorian artist stepping away from Canada for just this track, Volva Amora. And we've run out of time. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, I was sad. Guapo, I gave in to your lies. I learned my lesson, now I'm more than fine. Ay, 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 ay. Gracias, pero bye, 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 bye. Fui bueno, ahora me porto mal. Unos besitos me van a arreglar. Sin compromiso es lo que hay. Hasta poder volver a amar. De los suegros, por ti pasé por el pinche infierno, y el diablo me lo confirmó, a pecar a falta del amor, la
Life works in mysterious ways. I played along with his devious games. So forgive me if I misbehave. I let the voice
put it on my face.
From grace when you left, took it in, now I own it. Gracias, pero bye. Para poderme encontrar, me puse bueno, mírame triunfar. Tengo ganas de olecarar hasta poder volver.
We had food growing up and we were used to being able to eat, but then all of a sudden we needed that help. That's why the food bank is here. They're here to help you and... They're here to help you.
The food bank is for anyone who needs one. Visit the food bank near you to help and be helped.